We got Razor a day early this week. He'll join us today, 8:55. Tomorrow will be all Cowboys and Saints. Big game tonight at the Death Star. Right now it's 8:21 on the ticket. And how about a movie review?
Yeah, I went to see Bohemian Rhapsody about a week ago. It's done really well at the box office as of just a few days ago. It cost a little over $50 million to make. It's already cleared $153 million here in the U.S. and $473 million worldwide. So it's done really well. And I won't bog down too much in the actual movie outside of telling you I would go see it. I recommend you going to see it. I think Rami Malek's role as Freddie Mercury is, I think he does great. I wasn't real familiar with him. He's been in Night at the Museum, that series. I've seen him in that. I didn't watch Mr. Robot. Maybe you did. He was in that TV series, which was pretty big. Lucy Boynton, who plays his girlfriend and wife, she was really good too. And it's basically the story of how Queen, the rock band, formed in the early 70s, became huge, his very flamboyant, quirky lifestyle behind the scenes, all the way up to his Live Aid performance with Queen in 1985. From what I've read, some of the factual behind-the-scenes stories are not exactly in line with reality in history, and they took some liberties with that, but that's what movies do, right? They take some things and maybe stretch them a little bit. But the thing about the movie, why it's worth seeing, I think Rami Malek's performance in itself is really good. Jer agreed with me. He's seen it. I thought he did a really good job as Freddie Mercury. Very believable. By the way, they originally thought of Sacha Baron Cohen for the role.
Yeah, he kind of looks like him.
Yeah, I've always thought that, that he looked like Freddie Mercury.
Yeah.
I guess they ran into some problems. Current Queen member Brian May, I think, had a problem with Sacha Baron Cohen. That didn't work out.
You know, Malek said that the hardest thing about the role was getting used to the fake teeth he had to put in.
Yeah, he put in fake teeth to give that look of the extra teeth that apparently Mercury had.
Freddie had those chompers.
Big old chompers.
Buck teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he wouldn't get rid of them. He wouldn't have them worked on because he thought that was part of his sound.
Mm-hmm.
That
it was. And he had what a voice he had.
Oh my
gosh.
Yeah.
And that is why I recommend the movie, because the songs they play, it's actually Queen. It's him lip-syncing Queen. It's not Malek singing it. It's Queen. And it will take you back to whatever age you were when these songs came out. Their first album was called Queen. And I remember this song, maybe you do, Keep Yourself Alive. Kind of sounds like Barracuda at the beginning.
I hear.
No, that's a cool song. I remember it from the 70s.
Yeah, I remember this.
Brian May's awesome.
Yeah. Very 70s rock sounding,
yeah,
sure.
I was told a million times of all the troubles in my way. Might you grow a little wiser, a little better every day. But if I cross a million rivers and I roll a million miles.
So that was their first record in 73. Then they put out a ton of music. Two albums in 74, Queen 2. Sheer Heart Attack, that had Killer Queen on it. Always loved that song.
Killer Queen!
And in 75, this is where it all changed for Queen. They put out Night at the Opera, tip of the cap to the greatness of the Marx Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And the song that, apparently it is true, they had to really sell the record company on putting this out on radio because it was over 6 minutes long, Bohemian Rhapsody.
One of the weirdest songs ever.
Yes.
Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide. No escape from reality. Open your eyes. Look up to the skies and see.
And I remember the first time I heard this, I just thought, man, this is amazing.
So weird.
Yeah. But this next part, I think, is just, it's one of the most beautiful things ever written.
Anyway, the wind blows, doesn't really matter to me.
awesome.
Awesome,
just
right there.
Just beautiful. I mean, man. Mama, and he could play the piano, and these lyrics always just really disturbed me.
Just killed a man, George.
Yeah, as a kid, I was like, wait a minute. This is a beautiful song. What do you mean he just killed a man?
My trigger, now he's dead. Mama, life had just begun.
It's a song that has like five different parts. Yeah. It's like five distinct songs mashed into one, and they all work together.
I love it. I love songs like that. Band on the Run. You know, it has like three different parts. It's like three different songs mashed together. I think that's so cool.
Yeah.
I always loved this song.
And this is really the template for doing that. I mean, and apparently it was that way that it was very hard to sell the record company. Not on this part, but it's like, okay, we got a great song here. Why do you have to be the Bushmilla part that's about to...
What's with all that?
And that was Freddie just being Freddie. He was a performer, very theatrical, and wanted to do basically a rock opera.
But you never turn this off when it's on the radio.
Well, that's my question. No, I don't. Especially now, I listen to it, and just there's so many interesting parts to it. But I remember as a kid thinking, man, what's
creep
their
you
deal?
Out when you're a kid.
Yeah, a little bit. Are they a joke band? What are they? Man, this song's just so weird. Especially the...
Rolling Stone readers chose Mercury's vocal performance on this song as the greatest in rock history.
Wow.
Yeah, history has treated it very well, especially after his death, but at the time it came out, a lot of mixed reviews. Kind of like me thinking, I don't know, do I love this song, or do I think it's the weirdest thing that I've ever heard?
Is it your favorite Queen song, though?
No, I don't think so. We're getting to that.
Okay.
Yeah, here we go. This is where...
But Brian May is just
incredible. Amazing. Yeah, their guitar parts, the vocals, the harmonies. It's just awesome.
Did all this on the guitar that he and his dad made. You ever seen that old Brian May guitar?
Yeah.
Used the same one. Over here. Uh-oh. Woke up. Get out of bed. Oh.
Silhouette of a man. Scaramouche, Scaramouche, will you do the fandango? Thunderbolt and lightning, very, very frightening me. Galileo.
Going back and forth, left and right channel. Just...
I'm just a poor boy, nobody loves me.
It's like a Monty Python, man.
Yeah, this is where you just got really juicy.
Here's a...
Okay, stop! I'm getting creeped out!
Cool thing about this song, let me bring it down just a little bit, Jared. Cool thing about this song, it charted in 1976. It charted on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100 in 92 with Wayne's World. It's charting again today in 2018.
Wow.
How many songs can do that?
Boy, remember how Wayne's World brought it back?
Right here where they're bobbing their heads in the picture.
Car ride.
And I love that in the movie, the record producer they're having to pitch this to is played by Mike Myers.
That's right. Yes. Yeah, Mike Myers plays the record producer is just like, I don't know.
I don't see kids banging their heads in the cars to this.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, that little throwaway line there. Okay, this album also had one of my favorite Queen songs, You're My Best Friend. Do you guys like this?
Yeah, this is a good song. I like this song a lot. It sounds a little bit like a Partridge Family song.
A little bit, yeah. But it's a feel-good song.
That's a good one.
It also had this, Love of My Life, which once I heard it in the movie, I remembered it. Again, a beautiful song. See if you guys remember this. It's a big part of the movie. They probably took 10 minutes about this song and how he wrote it. Brian May actually played harp on the album. When they played it live, he played a 12-string.
Love of my life, you've hurt me. You've broken my heart.
Song.
I don't either.
It's beautiful though, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
God, it's great.
Bring it back, don't take it away from me.
seen it in the movie. I'd forgotten all about the song, but it brought it back.
When was Somebody to Love?
When did they come out with that?
I love that song.
That's great.
Yeah.
That song is another one of those that's always a happy for me.
That was on Day at the Races, their next record in 76.
You hear that song, I always get happy when I hear that song.
77, they put out News of the World, and they put out this song. It was about the time the Cowboys won Super Bowl 12, so I'll always have a very special place in my heart for this. Time after time. But again, when I heard this as a junior high kid, I thought, we are the champions. That's going to be and it's a great anthem and everything, but what are they doing here? But it was great. I loved it.
See, I remember hearing of theirs, of course I was young, was another one, Bites the Dust.
We're getting to that.
Yeah. Okay,
we're
so that was
to
later
that.
In
yeah.
their catalog.
I love that song. I didn't like, I hated the We Are the Champions part.
Did you like all this?
Love the We Will Rock You part.
Yeah, then it eventually goes into
that's
We Will Rock You.
But I hated all.
It's the same song?
Yeah, it's the same song. Yeah. I hated this part right here.
Yeah.
Couldn't stand it. Still can't stand it.
Even as they're carrying Landry off the field and they're rolling this.
What about Dirk?
I hate this song so much. But when it transitions to We Will Rock You, I think that's one of the coolest things ever.
Mm-hmm. 78, they put out Jazz with Bicycle Race. I figured you always liked that song.
Oh, is that
Bicycle? Yeah. Crazy song.
It's actually, that's a beating of a song.
Yeah. Fat Bottom Girls was on that record, too.
Good one.
Oh, you're gonna take me home tonight.
Almost a country song.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, down beside that red firelight.
The only album to go number one for them, though, in the U.S. was their 1980 album, The Game. And it had this song that you just asked about, Gordo.
Love this song.
And the first time I heard this song, I just talk about stop the show.
Yes.
It's like, what the heck is this?
Once again, the influence of the great Bernard Edwards.
Yeah, very disco in bass, disco influence on this for sure.
Love this song.
Boy, you think he pranced when he did this song?
Seen the video to it?
Yeah.
He's prancing.
Listen to that groove.
God, that's a groove.
Yeah.
Did you guys know he was gay back in the day?
I'm sorry.
Sean?
Yeah. He was
what
gay?
What does that matter?
Yeah.
Sean?
I figured that out in
I wasn't
early
alive
in the
then.
Game.
I'm curious if everybody just assumed he was gay.
Yeah, we figured it out.
Hey, you know what? There's
junior high conversations.
Another underrated song.
By the way, he was not gay.
Underrated song off this album, Crazy Little Thing Called Love.
Well, not underrated. That also hit number one.
Okay.
Yeah, that hit number one, too.
I love that song.
It was very Elvis to me.
Oh, yeah.
So then, this was huge for him. They did the soundtrack for Flash Gordon. They did After the Game. Then they did Innuendo in 91. But before that, though, and this is where the movie ends, his appearance at Live Aid. And I remember them at Live Aid, and the movie they make it to real, it's a big deal, like they're a surprise band. They weren't a surprise band. That's a factual error. They were on the bill from the very beginning. But they did Radio Gaga, which is a really weird song.
Mm-hmm. That always kind of beat me. But at Live Aid, it was this awesome visual because everyone was clapping above their heads.
Everyone knew
all
the
same
from the video.
Time.
Yeah,
it was really neat.
Yeah, it was a cool performance. And boy, he's really prancing in this when he's live at Wembley. It's great. The movie is about the music, and there may be some factual errors in it, and maybe it doesn't match up the way you want it to. I know people on both sides of the whole homosexuality thing are upset about it. Some people think there's too much male kissing. Some think not enough. But the music is what this movie is about, and it's why it's to this date, the most popular music bio ever done.
It is?
Yeah.
Wow.
It topped Macahana. Whatever
it was, Macahana.
It was Macahana. Was the
Paul McCartney,
previous holder?
The Andy Williams story.
Yeah, maybe it's worth it though, just for this music and to remind you just how great Queen was.
You know, he was like in denial too that he was sick. I think until the end. I don't know if the movie comments on that.
Yeah, they messed that up because they act like he knew he had AIDS at Live Aid. He didn't.
Right.
He found out later. He knew he was getting sick, but he didn't know he had AIDS.
And do you remember when they announced that he had AIDS? the day before he died, I think it was.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's where like he found out that he had AIDS, and then they announced his death like the next day.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
All right, Bohemian Rhapsody in theaters now. Coming up next, he's been called a modern-day Freddie Mercury. We'll visit with the official vocalist of our show, Chris McKinley, in